It's going to be the best way to close out your week. A Friday celebration throughout the month of May. Mason Voth, Drew Galloway here with you on the KSO show to continue our ranking of the quarterbacks at K-State over the last 20 seasons. Again, you just had to attempt one pass. That's all we were looking for to make this list. Last week, we did quarterbacks 25 through 21. There's a look there if you forgot who was on the list last week or if you just forgot that they played at K-State in general. Some of those guys, shame on you if you forgot about the John Holcomb era that never really got going. But there was some hype there for a little bit. Angelo Pease also, you know, that's a goat right there. Okay, today on the list of quarterbacks, we're going to get into more guys that have serious playing time under their belt. One guy, one of the best at his position all time at K-State.
That is valid.
Quarterback with that comment. And then the rest, some backup duty, some maybe distorted memories of guys than what they actually did. I know one on this list, I was surprised that he didn't play more. But you know who's coming up on the list, I believe, Drew. Who, without giving anything away to start this off, which guy are you most excited to go over the tape from?
Oh, man. I think that I'm probably the most excited for the guy that we both thought was better than he actually was, because I have like zero recollection of him playing in an actual game besides just like thinking how good he was. And I could not be more excited for the guy that is like one of the best all time at his position, just wasn't a quarterback.
All right, well, let's get into it. And we were not talking about this next guy on the list. Jake Rubley is the first to make an appearance today. Number 20 on the list. Some would say, is that too high? Is that too low? It's debatable. If you're looking, Drew had Jake Rubley at number 17 on his list. I had him at 23.
If you remember, like you're disgusted that I have him at 17.
Yeah, it felt high to me. Now, if you remember last week, folks, I did ding Jaren Lewis very hard because the memories that I have of him playing were very, very crappy. So, if you're thinking, well, that's why I have Jake Rubley low, you're right, because that interception he threw against TCU, absolutely terrible. But before we even get into the highlights of Big 12 champion quarterback Jake Rubley, I want to go to the archives of KSO and read you what was listed in his signature spotlight as a part of the 2021 recruiting class. Some might remember that Jake Rubley was a four-star quarterback. He committed the day after K-State lost to Navy in the Liberty Bowl. You see all of his offers right there. These are the writing styles of one Derek Young over at Rivals, which again, about to be in with us again at On Three. So welcome back. I can do this. Feels like fair game. That's the IP of Derek Young and KSO. So you kind of get the synopsis of what was going on. Here's the analysis from DY on the situation with Jake Rubley. I'm not going to, read too much of it. Doesn't really matter that much to me. And then here's the last thing, the roster analysis. DY was thinking that maybe he could be the starting quarterback in 2022. It's either him or Will Howard. It kind of ended up working out, but also not 100% accurate there. And just proof to show that when these guys commit, you have no idea what path their careers are going to go on. But I know at the time, after eating at a Waffle House with Mitch Fortner and John Kurtz and driving back to Kansas in the K-Rock truck, when that news came that Rubley committed, we were like, oh, home run. The Cats have done it. Watch out. Chris Kleiman's about to get hot. He did eventually get hot on the recruiting trail. Jake Rubley just didn't end up being one of those guys. He's now at Illinois State.
Yeah, I remember being extremely hyped for this commitment, and remember that it just kind of came out of left field. Like nobody really knew that Rubley was even like considering committing at a point and just getting excited because, you know, everybody sees the four stars next to his name. I also remember being a student at a very cold, windy, and like legitimately probably the coldest game I think I've been to, that Iowa State game that Jake Rubley visited for, and seeing him on the sidelines and kind of being like, huh, interesting. Like, I wonder where like this goes from here. And then K-State lands him was one of the first times that I can remember like really following it and being super invested in recruitment. Happened to be a four-star quarterback that K-State beat out a lot of people for. And then COVID hits and his senior season was a joke. He played in two games for a terrible high school offensive line, then was ruled ineligible, and then really from there, it all kind of fell apart. And like, there is part of me that like will always wonder, like, if he had a true senior season, how does this end up playing out? Mm-hmm. Instead of him going from Colorado to Iowa with the intention of like, hey, like, Colorado doesn't have high school football, I want to play my senior season. Then he only gets to play in two games. The team was terrible. And then he's ineligible. And then you never really got to see him do anything after that. Except that, by the way, that pass of the six passes, because I know I've looked at all six of these passes. That was the one pass that I was like, oh, is he back?
Yeah, I saw the number two. I was like, is that Avery Johnson out there? Did I get the right year? He's one of those guys that just kind of got dinged. RJ Garcia right there. They got dinged by, you know, how COVID was working. And then here we go. This is what got him at 23 on my list. What are we doing?
I have a couple qualms with this. Number one is the play call.
I agree.
You're on your third string quarterback, the third quarterback that has played in this game.
Yeah.
You're also throwing all the way across the field as your number one read. And then Phillip Brooks, can we maybe make a little bit more of an effort to make a play?
Yeah, no, hey, look, that's fair. That's fair. But I agree. If it, you know, the play call obviously looked like that was meant to be the play, and one of the options, the quarterback still has the option to not throw that ball. You realize that, Drew, they don't have to do that. This is, well, you know,
but this is the quarterback show. So I'm going to give the quarterback the benefit of the doubt.
No, it's the quarterback show. You're supposed to put it all on the quarterback's shoulders. Yeah, it's just one of those where I forgot to even put his failed quarterback sneak on the next drive in this game. But yeah, Jake Rubley is the sole reason why K-State lost that game to TCU. And in reality, that's kind of a joke because he's not the reason. The reason is the fact that Adrian Martinez and Will Howard both got hurt. So
and Julius Brents like popped a hamstring.
Yeah,
that was on a long pass to Quentin Johnston. That play was bizarre.
Similar to the Colorado game. Everybody died in this game in 2022, and then Colorado 2024. Everybody else also down and out for the count. So there you go, Jake Rubley, number 20 on this list. About the right spot for him, right? It's right in the middle of where we had him. So he's 20 on the list, and his average ended up being 20. So it seems like that would be.
You know, I would be fascinated, like, we can do this and kind of have his opinion and maybe have him on, like, later on. Like, I would love to know, like, fans' rankings of all these guys, too.
I should have asked him, because he would have come in here and been like, well, you know, his completion percentage was off the charts. So he's showing his graph with all these green numbers on it for Jake Rubley because he was 5 of 6. So, yeah. All right, let's move on. This is a guy I'm excited to talk about. I'm just disappointed that there aren't more highlights for him because he's one of them that not as good as I thought he was when I was just floating around in middle school playing the NCAA video games. It is Samuel Lemur. Most of you probably remember, wasn't he a linebacker? No, that was his brother who was a good linebacker at K-State, went on to have a career in the NFL. Samuel Lemur only appeared in two seasons. He was 9 of 11, 80 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, one rushing touchdown that came against KU in 2011. Drew, were you shocked to see that he played as little as he did? Because I was.
I was too. Like, there, for some reason, like you said, and we talked about when we made this ranking, like, it had to have been the NCAA video game that made him feel a lot better than he was. Also, so baller that he wore 13 as a quarterback. Like, that, there was a lot of things with Samuel Limmer that, like, just was like a fever dream. Like, did it actually happen? I mean, is this the Nebraska game?
This is the Nebraska game. Yeah. Look at this throw to Braden Wilson, though. This is more of a Braden Wilson highlight than a Samuel Limmer highlight. But
that is NFL draft pick, I believe, Braden Wilson.
Well, there you go. You know that I didn't have much for Samuel Limmer when I just included this long shot that ESPN got of him in here. But yeah, you know, that it just solely had to be the fact that I thought, oh, well, he's actually pretty good in the video game. Like, he's got to be a stud.
He was fast as hell on the video game, if I'm remembering correctly. Boom. That was not a good throw at all. If Nebraska wasn't up by a million, that's probably a pick six.
Yeah, I think it was 45-6 at this point when we were watching Samuel Limmer. But, man, yeah, you know, I there wasn't a ton to go off of for Samuel Limmer. He was like Daniel Sams 1.0 in all honesty.
Oh, great. But a lot worse of an athlete and maybe a worse passer.
Whoa. I don't, maybe we, 9 of 11. Like, what, how are we even going to be able to tell or remember here? Yeah. Samuel Limmer though, not as much playing time as you would have expected. And maybe the most telling part, and these guys are higher on the list. So, you know, it works out and it's not meant to be offensive, but you know, there was opportunity to maybe play in 2009 or 2010 at quarterback at K-State if you were up to a certain standard. So he wasn't in that rotation.
You also talked about it, but Emmanuel Amir played in the NFL for a long time. Like, I remember him very vividly playing for the Texans.
Yeah, let's see here. Emmanuel Amir ended up logging six seasons in the NFL. Yeah. Bengals, Vikings, and Raiders is what he's listed.
Texans was Zach Giles. That's who I'm thinking.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Emmanuel Limmer. And one of those years, he must have been hurt because he didn't play in 2013, then 14-15 back with the Bengals. So, yeah, he put that's a solid career that he put together in the NFL.
The other mystique of Sammy Lemire that I'm remembering is, like, wasn't there, like, talk about, like, a secret Sammy Lemire package that K-State was thinking about putting in back in the day?
It would not shock me based off of what we saw from his highlights against any of them that I was able to find. And just, again, like, classic Snyder 2.0 backup quarterback, you know,
fast, like, but can't throw.
Yeah. You think, oh, he's just going to run a lot. Middle school boys loved him because he was great in the video game. You thought he might be middle school boys and John Kurtz, I would guess. I'm going to guess John was a big Samuel Limmer guy.
Oh, yeah. We got to find out if John Kurtz was a Samuel Limmer guy.
Okay. We're recording this. It's a Wednesday. I'm just going to text him out of the blue. And
what do you think? I'm just going to say
Samuel Limmer ? His notifications are silenced at 2:50 on a Wednesday. Who is this guy?
He's got a big job.
Do you want to watch his touchdown run against KU one more time?
Oh, 100%. Rocking your number 13 too. Like, everything about him just is a fever dream.
Man, that would have convinced me that he was going to be a star. Keep in mind, this is 2011. He had no more eligibility, and he was not going to play over Colin Klein. So he was just relegated to being a distant memory for K-State fans. But, hey, number 19 on the list, not that bad.
Some big-time ballers, though, in the clips that we've had with him. Braden Wilson, Travis Tannehill, Chris Harper.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into a guy now that I think a lot of people are waiting to see where he was going to show up on the list. Transparently, my favorite highlight package we're going to show today. Kind of because parts of it are funny and other parts just, kind of exciting to see where this conversation goes. But this is not necessarily his fault. This is more on poor roster construction by, you're thinking I put all of it on Jake Rubley, and then now I'm putting it all on the coaches for this guy. Joe Huebner is number 18 on the list of K-State quarterbacks since 2006. Long career at K-State, a walk-on from Cheney, Kansas, a little Cardinal pride right there. And you see the numbers, 162, 331, just over 2,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, 12 picks, and then 780 rushing yards, 18 touchdowns, and he started 11 games in 2015. Didn't start the opener, didn't start the closer that season, but was there the rest of the way. And this is where you dive into the Joe Huebner stuff and just think, like, he was the worst. Like, talking about starting quarterbacks at K-State over the last 10 years, like the original post there was, Joe Huebner's the answer in there.
Yeah.
And I've got really negative memories of Joe Huebner. And it probably does. It doesn't help him that he also played at the same time that Javon Thomas was trying to play basketball at K-State, who I also hated. But I feel like, Javon Thomas was supposed to be good. Joe Huebner, we've said it time and time before, he was never supposed to play at K-State. The snaps that he got in the KU game on senior day in 2016, that's the only time he was supposed to play, when K-State was blowing out KU on senior day. And instead, he had to be the starting quarterback for most of 2015. It was an unfair position that he was in. He just wasn't cut out to do it. Some guys aren't meant to be Big 12 quarterbacks. I was not meant to be a Big 12 quarterback. You were not meant to be a Big 12 quarterback. Neither was Joe Huebner. Joe Huebner probably could have played quarterback at a lot of other schools that aren't Power Five. You and I could not have done that,
Yeah. The fascinating thing with Joe Huebner, we talked about, he's the inverse of Samuel Lemire. Joe Huebner played in a lot more games than I remember.
Man, just think if Samuel Lemire still had eligibility in 2015, where would he be on this list?
We got 27 games for Joe Huebner. And like you said, probably not all his fault. But this was a formidable time for me as a fan, in high school. And just kind of watching the meltdown happen slowly against TCU. And that was the game that definitely wasn't his fault. He played out of his mind in that game. But just that 2015 season, we'll get into it more with another guy that's on this list. But unbelievable how that all kind of transpired and how K-State scratched and clawed their way to a bowl game. The fact that Iowa State, West Virginia, and KU were so bad that Joe Huebner and Cody Cook could, and by that time it was mostly Cody Cook, could beat them. Absolutely wild.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I've got any social media posts from the time of Joe Huebner when he's going on, because I know that bad stretch for basketball. I've got some really bad ones about Bruce Weber and Javon Thomas.
Luckily, I don't think that I have any Joe Huebner takes.
But the funny thing about looking back on that is that every year, sometime early September, I have a post that'll show up as a memory of me questioning if Colin Klein was the guy, because I was at the season opener against Eastern Kentucky in 2011. And so I was definitely sitting there in the corner of the south end zone, being like, oh, I don't know. I don't think this is going to work out. I don't think this is the guy. And then he was a Heisman Trophy finalist and the best player in the Big 12 the next year.
We got to pull up some highlights. This is also my favorite stat of our entire list. He is one of the players that has thrown to somebody else on this list. Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys like that, surprisingly, that have shown up here. So here is the Joe Huebner highlights. This is his lone highlight from the Oklahoma State game after he got severely injured in the first quarter and Cody Cook came in, and then Cody Cook suffered a shoulder injury. That was a 72-yard pass play that worked out. And actually, so I want to point out here, this is watching back on this. So that was Charles Jones that caught it and took it. This was Charles Jones' first snap of the game. Justin Cutcher, just before this play goes off, notes Charles Jones in the game for the first time. And then you can see they just basically sneak Charles Jones out to the side and he's gone. And K-State would eventually go on to score here. But as some might remember, they did not get the two-point conversion.
Somewhat related, K-State got absolutely hosed in that game, by the way.
Yeah, so I didn't get to watch a ton of this one live. I was at something at my high school, like that Saturday afternoon, early evening, some event that was going on that I had to be a part of. So I was following it along on my phone, and disappointing finish. But yeah, this was a great Cody Cook game. We'll talk a lot about that down the road, which we haven't had Cody Cook pop up on here yet.
That's how rough it is at the beginning.
Which, you know, borderline pisses me off, Drew, because that's on you. On why Cody Cook is not on this page. He's on the next one, and we've got a different guy on this one. We'll get into that later, but let's continue with the Joe Huebner highlights. Oh, actually, I want to say this too.
Whoa. Hold on. I had Cody Cook one spot higher than you did.
Yeah, but guess what? I had somebody else five spots higher than you. So
that's true.
You know, sorry that I got respect for guys. One last thing I want to point out about this Oklahoma State game. This is, you know, we knew concussions were a thing back then. We didn't know to the extent, like, as much as we do now, because there have been a lot more public things that happened. I don't remember or know what the official word or diagnosis ended up being after the fact. Obviously, he came back into the game, so he wasn't taken out because of it. If you watch, because I saw it in the highlight package, the play that knocked Joe Huebner out of this game initially, it very much resembles, like, you know, people talk about like the fencing mechanism that happens with some of these head injuries that take place now, like we saw with the Tua thing. It wasn't to that extent, but like definitely seemed like that might have happened to Joe Huebner. Like he might have been playing with a concussion in this game against Oklahoma State when he got put back in because Cody Cook hurt his shoulder. So unfortunate the way this game ended. Yeah.
That game was just bizarre.
It kind of feels like when K-State has to play a backup quarterback, they also have to play a third string quarterback. That seems to be the rule for K-State football. All right. So here we go. You're going to see a lot of quarterback like runs from inside the 3 yard line for Joe Huebner as you had the 18 touchdowns. I believe this was part of a 4 rushing touchdown game for Joe Huebner against KU in 2015.
It
was really cold. There was bad weather that weekend. Nice little run there for Joe.
I mean, that defense there. Oh, there's a pass to somebody that is also on this list.
Yeah, this is more Cody Cook highlights. Here we go. This is the start of my favorite part that we're going to see here. Joe Huebner's performance in overtime of this game. This is 3rd and 7 from the 22-yard line in overtime. Just slinging it, going for it all, Dominique Heath.
That was horrible camera work.
Yeah, horrible camera work.
By whoever was doing this game.
3rd and 16 from the 31 in triple overtime. La Tech has not had the ball first.
And the triple coverage to Cody Cook.
The
other like mystique of Joe Huebner was the fact that he had one glove on his left hand.
Yeah, I love that. I love my quarterbacks wearing gloves. Here are some Joe Huebner highlights against TCU. I was at this game. I saw Joel Klatt almost trip over the field goal net in the north end zone before the game. And you're thinking, man, how does K-State lose a game when they're about to go up 42-31 with 12:26 to play at home? Well, Trevon Boykin was going to rip off a big run to rip everybody's heart out. And then this is Bazooka Joe's last gasp against TCU. And I felt like this was a fitting note as to why so many people are pretty negative towards Joe Huebner. 12 interceptions in his career, one more than his touchdown. And then this, like, what are you doing? What are you throwing the ball backwards for, Joe? What what were we thinking there?
The fact that K-State was up that big with that little time left with how the offense was in Snyder 2.0 and just being like a super patient team, and to let TCU score 21 unanswered to lose the game is crazy.
Yeah. Not great. Not great for the Cats there. And Joe Huebner, number 18 on our list. A few other things to note. Joe Huebner would go on to play indoor football in Wichita for whatever the team was named down here at the time. They've changed names a bunch. There's been like different teams, different ownership. Who knows? But he did kick the tires around there for a while. Speaking of John Kurtz, that was a guy. He was very anti my Joe Huebner slander when I would go on the game when I was a young buck. I kind of get it now, but it's still like, you know, I don't hate Joe Huebner the person, but I certainly don't like him the quarterback. Because like you talked about, like those are formative years of fandom.
Yeah.
Know? Like yeah. I was telling you today, the very next year I was going to be a student at K-State. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to suck when I'm there. This isn't going to be fun. 4 years of Joe Huebner. Obviously not him. I was not dumb enough to think that he had that much time left on his eligibility clock, but like,
although nowadays
he might have, that's a good point. So yeah, he did enough, you know, he did enough, because that K-State team, if we look back on it now, even if Jesse Ertz is healthy in 2015, how many more wins are they really getting in the regular season when they were a 6-6 team? Like, okay. All right. Like they got smoked by, they're not beating Oklahoma. I guess you could say maybe they could have won that TCU game if Jesse Ertz was a quarterback, but like Joe Huebner's best game. So like, you're not necessarily going there and it probably goes differently.
They probably win in Stillwater because they almost won with a receiver playing quarterback and then a guy that was concussed playing quarterback after the receiver went out.
Yeah, I'm serious. That was like, you know, if I were Joe Huebner, I would blame what happened the rest of the season on that moment and being forced to play with a possible concussion. I don't know. That's just what I would.
This is just something I'm like just thinking about right now. If Joe Huebner wouldn't have been able to go back in that 2015 Oklahoma State game.
Great question.
Who would have came in?
I think it would have been Alex Delton. No,
no.
Yeah. It would have been Alex Delton. Yeah. He would have been a true freshman that year. Yeah, because I don't know if he played in the UTSA game, but there was something to where he did play in the UTSA game. He had 1 8-yard run against UTSA. So it would have been true freshman Alex Delton.
Should have let him play.
Who less than a year prior to that would have been getting his ass kicked by the Bueller Crusaders. So
should have put Delton in.
Yeah. You know,
also fascinating that like, we haven't talked about him yet because you and I have different viewpoints on Alex Delton.
We ranked him the exact same, but yeah, we've got different viewpoints apparently.
But one of us talks about him a lot fonder than the other.
Well, again, because he never victimized my team. You know, I was always on the right side of Alex Delton. Yeah. So Joe Huebner checks in right there. Sorry, Joe. Nothing personal. Just unfortunate the way that unfolded
nothing for you personal. In 2015. Zach Davidson was 25, and we didn't say nothing personal to him.
But I think Zach Davidson gets it. He threw one pass. He wasn't asked to go out there and play 11 games. You know, if Zach Davidson had been asked to play 11 games, I'm probably hitting him with a nothing personal. But
I guess that's
if you're
true.
0 of 1, you know.
Joe Huebner is the only like legitimate is the first legitimate starting quarterback that's been on this list. So I get it.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to a guy that now we've go from 331 career pass attempts to 2. Jacob Knuth, number 17 on the list, still on the team. One of a couple of guys that are present day Cats that are going to be on this list. 2 for 2, 18 yards. 3 rush attempts for 18 yards. The 2 games he played in last year were against BYU and UT Martin. He got to come in once K-State finally waved the white flag against BYU. And then Why is he not higher? Well, Taquan Roberson got the crunch time minutes against Colorado, although Knuth wasn't available for that game, if I remember correctly. And although I think it became apparent that Roberson had maybe taken that job, they brought him in for a reason. But here are your Jacob Knuth highlights, Drew. They're going to light your world on fire right here.
I mean, that's a great fake to Joe Jackson.
And boom, look at the legs. You know, if Avery Johnson goes down, offense is not changing one bit, right?
Gonna be honest, Jacob Knuth is where he is on my list and where he is on your list, because everybody else, for the most part, was terrible. Like the sample size for Knuth has been so small. I will pose a
look at that. Andre Davis.
Yeah, Andre Davis, who was, until he transferred in the spring, the only returning player that had a catch besides Jace Brown of the receivers. We do this again however many years from now. Is Jacob Knuth higher or lower on this list for you?
Like the same time parameters, or are we adding on 20 more years to this? Like, where are we?
We do this like 10 years from now.
Okay.
And we include going back to 06 still.
Okay.
Do you think that he's higher or lower than 6 or 17? Or I could even like go to the point where like we do this just like next, if we did this next year, do you think that he's higher or lower? I'm basically saying, do you think that you're going to be impressed by Jacob Knuth when he comes into a game, if he comes into a game this year?
He's not going to be any higher, because I will tell people this, just to throw it out there. I may seem like a Joe Huebner apologist now, even though I sounded pretty negative towards him. I had him 17th. Drew had him 20th. I had Joe Huebner higher than Jacob Knuth. And I don't know necessarily that would be the case. Like, who would be better if you got him in a game? But like, I saw Joe Huebner do it, and the guy was the quarterback of a team that went like 6-6. So as bad as it was, and this kind of goes to what we talked about earlier in the week with like some of the climbing teams, where the success of other things leading up to it and around it make it everything seem, you know, worse than they actually are. Like, Joe Huebner was not a great quarterback, but he did the job for what that team was going to be. Like I tried saying a little bit ago, I don't think that team was adding many more wins than the six that they got. Because Huebner was if it was Huebner or Ertz, I don't know. You look at the guys that were catching balls that season, a bunch of young nobodies basically. I think Knuth would be lower. We just don't know enough about him, and he doesn't have like the pedigree to his background, and he's not very exciting for me to, you know, give him like the Samuel Lemur treatment.
I am intrigued though, because I mean, this is a guy that's currently on the team. It is still kind of unknown if he's even going to be the primary backup. So maybe the next time we do this list, we see Blake Barnett on this list instead.
Yeah, I would say that I've got higher expectations of when Blake Barnett plays, he'll be higher on this list than Jacob Knuth, or in the same ballpark, just because there's a little bit more of like the run factor. So we know like that, you know, gets bonus points for guys, get some excitement there. But yeah, there you go. Do you want to see all the Jacob Knuth highlights one last time?
Do we have a clip from the BYU game or no?
No, I didn't want to go look at that game.
Then we can move on.
I wanted the last time I thought about that game when we were on that plane from Salt Lake City out of town. All right, final quarterback of the day. Get excited, folks, because it's not a quarterback. It's a running back. It's Daniel Thomas. This is the guy that Drew and I were excited to talk about. I did extensive work to find tape of Daniel Thomas playing quarterback at K-State, and Drew told me it couldn't be done. He said, I found highlights from this game. It wasn't there, though. It was only Baylor highlights. Well, I sat through 20 minutes of Baylor film from that game, from Baylor vision, Bear vision, or whatever the hell they called it, and I found Daniel Thomas's 67-yard touchdown pass to Aubrey Corral. So without further ado, here is DTQB. 3 minutes of highlights of Daniel Thomas lined up at quarterback for K-State. We start with the Baylor vision. Boom. dot Aubrey Quarles touchdown. There you go. This is from the Texas A&M game that we, Drew and I talked a little bit about this week. Boom, little Wildcat running touchdown. Okay, so coming up a little bit later on there would be a play that we'll get, it'll show up at a later point because it goes to what Drew talked about with guys throwing passes to dudes who are on this list. Here is Daniel Thomas's against KU.
On Versus.
Yeah, shout out Versus. this was... Is this the best moment of my childhood? Probably second, behind K-State beating KU in basketball in 2008. This is, here we go. This is Daniel Thomas. This is a 2-point conversion against Oklahoma. I gotta talk about this game here a little bit because I have like a way fonder memory of this loss to Oklahoma than I probably should for K-State. I told you when we were discussing how this was going to work, I watched this game. It was Halloween when this game was played in 2009. K-State got down big early in the game. Yeah. They were trailing at different points 21-0 and 28-6 in the game. But then they started to make it a game. This is the first time that I said, you know what, screw trick-or-treating. I'm too grown for that. I'm done with it. So I stayed home. I wanted to watch the Cats play. You know, see what Grant Gregory and the boys could do. And what I got was a great Daniel Thomas Wildcat experience. Jump pass, boom, to an NFL tight end. So how you like that, folks? And then we've got an even better Daniel Thomas play getting ready to pop up in here for everybody. But oh, look at Bill. He knows he called a good running back pass that time. Nothing back like what we saw him do with Angelo Pease against Texas Tech. That's how it's done.
I was about to say, like, the one thing that I really learned from the Daniel Thomas highlights when I was looking at them at quarterback
is that maybe he should have played over Grant Gregory and Carson Kaufman.
Was that his play calls were a lot better than Angelo Pease's. Oh, here's our pass to Carson Kaufman.
Yeah. Look at that. By
the way, the other thing that I learned during these specific highlights, camera quality has came a long way, folks.
It's a lot easier for guys to rip stuff and put them on YouTube these days.
Yeah,
with better quality.
Like another thing that was just like, is this actually a real thing? If I would have told you before we did this that Daniel Thomas would have thrown more passes than Sammy Lamira, would you have agreed?
Oof, no, I wouldn't have thought so. Here we go. This is an electric pass by Daniel Thomas.
This is kind of what they tried to do with Angelo Pease that one time, but they pitched it.
Yes, there's a lot of similarities here with some of what they've done here, and then boom, even through contact, and Brandon Manx on the receiving end,
NFL receiver and an NFL tight end that he's thrown to. I wonder how many games that they won.
Not a lot, but you know. 2009, good times. The funniest fact about that season is that K-State went to Lincoln, and if they won, they were playing in the Big 12 title, and if they lost, they weren't going to a bowl game.
Yes. Like, the fact that they almost backdoored themselves into going to the Big 12 title that year was insane.
So there you go. There's your Daniel Thomas highlights. We got to watch the touchdown pass one more time to Aubrey Quarles.
That's also a great play call. Like, Daniel Thomas got a lot better times, like being able to throw the ball, than anything Angelo Pease got.
And this came right off of Baylor had just scored a big touchdown. So K-State used this to get themselves right back into it with a little you know, quick score there. But, man, that's a... That's good stuff right there for Daniel Thomas, who is number 16 on our list. Again, he would have been higher if Drew was a little bit more in line with me. I had Daniel Thomas at number 13 on my personal list. Drew had him at 18.
The other thing that I'm like really fired up for, and like it really stemmed from that K-State Legends draft that I did. Like, when we do these Mount Rushmores of different players at positions, Daniel Thomas was such a stud. It like kind of goes, he he is who fans think that John Hubert is. Because everybody talks about how like John Hubert is one of the most underrated Wildcats in recent memory. I think it's more Daniel Thomas, especially now that we've had like Deuce Vaughn go through and DJ go through and all the hype surrounding Dylan Edwards leading into this year. Like Daniel Thomas is kind of being that guy that is kind of forgotten about now.
I think that's fair.
In 2 years to have 2,800 rushing yards and 30 touchdowns, he was the entire team pretty much.
How
two not great quarterbacks.
How awesome. Well, he played with himself. how awesome.
Decent quarterbacks.
How awesome would it have been if he had just one extra year? You know, he was on that 2011 team.
If he had one extra year.
I mean, they'd probably beat Oklahoma State at least.
Yeah. Right?
You think Daniel Thomas would be a nut? Like, John Hubert obviously was very good running back. Like, nothing against John Hubert.
No, nothing against John Hubert.
Daniel Thomas is probably enough to push him over in a close game in Stillwater.
Daniel Thomas
probably prevents that earthquake from happening if he's available in 2011. That's how special Daniel Thomas was.
He's also probably like the biggest like contributing factor now, I think, into why you see teams don't draft running backs with a lot of mileage. Like 545 carries for Daniel Thomas in 2 years is insane.
He
had
you already said it, like the quarterback situation was what it was, so it's not like Bill was probably pretty aware that he needed to ride Daniel Thomas. So I have fond memories of Daniel Thomas in that opener against UCLA in 2010. That was roasting my butt up in the top of the east section of stands, because again, I've said it before, love my dad. That man did not splurge on tickets. He's like, I'm taking a family of five to a game. These either better be free or we're going to one game and I'm finding the cheapest tickets possible. Still a great time.
Daniel Thomas in two seasons had 40 more carries than DJ Goodens did in three.
Wow.
and then only had 96 less carries than Deuce Vaughn did in three.
I mean, just incredible that opener against UCLA. 234 yards on 28 carries. And get a load of this, Drew. Because you've talked about this game before. You were at the game at North Texas in 2010, correct?
I was at that game. I have memories of that game. Not great or good.
Well, you remembered the North Texas running back, Lance Dunbar. Listen to this. Daniel Thomas in that game, 36 carries, 269 yards, two touchdowns.
Now, both running backs were awesome in that game.
NFL running back to be Lance Dunbar, 22 carries, 270 yards, three touchdowns.
I'm going to see my parents this weekend. That's why we're actually recording this early. I need to ask them, why did we even go to this game?
Because it's an easy drive.
It was in November. It's not like the 2010 team wasn't like spectacular. We were also at that Pinstripe Bowl.
This was K-State's last game of the regular season.
Yeah,
they ended
the
year on the road at North Texas, which
whole family was there.
They did one of the years of Ron Prince. They went late in the year to Fresno State.
Yes,
07 maybe. Yeah, 07 they ended at Fresno.
The other like sicko thing that I really remember from this game was that it was not on TV. Like it was, I'm pretty sure this was like an ESPN3, like one of their first games.
I've never seen anything from this game. This was another one that I was following on the game cast or whatever that ESPN had.
Saw it with my own two eyes. You should have been there. You just didn't like the grind enough.
I already got done telling you about my cheap ass dad. So, I do love him. And also now I've got two kids and one of them doesn't even eat real food yet because she's only a couple weeks old. The other one, like, it's not like she's getting a ton, but we go somewhere. I'm like, oh man, you know, buying 2.5 meals now, this is a game changer from when I was buying two, or when I was on my own in college and I was buying one. Like, you know, when it's time for the family of four to go to a Royals game, then we're going to be back into the upper deck. I'm going to be back to my roots. So, yeah, Daniel Thomas, what a stud. I mean, so this was a question posed last week with the list.
Mm-hmm.
K-State has all these quarterbacks to go down. Which of the five on this list would you have taken your chance with? And I think a lot of people were like, I think Angelo Pease is where I'm going. Daniel Thomas, and how many seasons since, let's just say 2009, would you have rather have seen Daniel Thomas be QB1?
Well, for sure, 2015. You could even say 2009 and 10.
2018?
So, yeah, 2018.
2020?
Yeah, 2020. I think that's probably it, but yeah. That's five seasons that we would have rather had a running back start at quarterback.
It's a big what if. I mean, it would not have probably been good for his NFL chances, but it would have been really fun to see.
But, like, I think that he's probably the correct answer on this list, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. We'll finish talking about it. We got to play the Daniel Thomas quarterback highlights one more time. Just
next week is an even more fascinating time, I think, to pose that question, because next week we have legitimate quarterbacks.
Yeah. Next week we're gonna have guys that all but one of them started. Well, all but two of them started games at K-State, so three guys that started games. It'll be a good conversation next week, and we'll have probably some more highlights to actually include when we're talking about these guys. But man, Daniel Thomas,
and one kind of cult hero next week, maybe even two, depending on who you are.
Yeah, Daniel Thomas, stud, absolute stud. Oh well, I know the cult hero that you're talking about next week, Streak Saver.
That was even, I guess we have a lot of cult heroes next week, because he was not.
Dion Beater? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of them next week. Well, honestly, I'm going down the list. People are probably going to say this about four of the five guys on the list next week, that there are going to be cults that are on board with some of these guys. So that'll be a fun time, and we'll discuss that next week. But there is your list 20 through 16, Jake Rubley, Samuel Lemur, Joe Huebner, Jacob Knuth, and Daniel Thomas to round things out. Beautiful. What a list.
Daniel Thomas has, of the guys that have thrown a pass on this list, I think he has the second most.
He does have second most pass attempts and the second most yards behind a guy that got to start 11 games. So, yes, it's incredible to look at. And you think, man, it was that effective. Why would you not have used it a little bit more, even more than they did? But I think for a lot of quarterback or running backs in that situation, that's probably a lot relative to what you would see nationally. But there you go. That is the ranking of every quarterback of the last 20 seasons, our players number 20 through 16, 15 through 11 coming up next week, and then we'll jump into the top 10 the week after. And then if you missed it, go to KSO right now, and you'll be able to see the full written story of 20 through 16, get some insight into these guys, what their careers were like, what happened to them afterwards. Like we mentioned, Jake Rubley at Illinois State.
One game. I saw him play against Iowa.
A lot of these guys just ran out of eligibility at K-State. Maybe that's the fascinating thing about this list, is that Lemur ran out of eligibility at K-State. Thomas, Huebner, and Knuth is trending that way, where he's just going to spend the rest of his time at K-State. And there aren't going to be many guys in the future when we do lists like this that they ended at K-State. They probably would have had another step along the way.
No, that's very valid. And something happened to Zach Davidson, but we don't know what.
Yeah, Zach Davidson. We're still trying to figure out. I mean, send us something on LinkedIn or something. We want to know what's going on there. What do you, I mean, you know, some of these guys, we know what Jacob Knuth is up to right now. What do you think Daniel Thomas is doing in life currently?
That's actually a really good question. I know what somebody else is doing on this list that has already graduated, because I saw him after we did our first list, or the first video of this series. And I was like, holy crap, did not expect to see him in that.
All right. I found, I do have one. I did have one tweet maybe that involved Joe Huebner that I had tweeted about, but it was nothing bad about Joe. So it's not entertaining. I just tweeted his name. So, all right. Go to KSO, read the written story on this, and join the discussion over on the foundation, our premium message board at K-State Online. And, I'm hoping we'll have another great discussion this week about it, like last week. Last week was great, and that was for a bunch of guys that didn't throw that many passes at K-State. Also, a reminder for everybody to go to cats2ireland.com and get your travel and ticket info for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. K-State and Iowa State going to kick off August 23rd in Dublin, Ireland, and the Aer Lingus College Football Classic, 11 a.m. start time back home in Kansas on ESPN for those of you that don't make it over there. But I know we're all mad at ESPN. They want you to sign up for this streaming network and this one. Screw the streaming. Just fly yourself to Ireland, and you don't even have to worry about watching it on TV. Because as you know, there was a time not so long ago where the only place to see historic performances in K-State was not on TV. That's why the Galloways were in Denton, Texas for K-State North Texas at the end of the 2010 season. So if you want to make sure that you're not going to miss anything that Avery Johnson does, maybe he runs for 269 yards against Iowa State. Probably not, but he could. You're going to want to be maybe in Ireland Edwards. Just in case it happens. Yeah, maybe Dylan Edwards. Yeah, could
that,
see it.
That feels a little bit more likely than Avery Johnson.
Well, you know, Dylan Edwards, he tried to do it in the Rate Bowl, so he's got to be chasing it. I guess I should look. 269. Where does that stand all time in the K-State single game rushing records?
It's got to be in the top 10. While you're talking, I'll fill in some time here with
that. Give me a fun fact.
The Ireland president is his name is Michael D. Higgins. But the fun fact here is that Irish presidents, their term is 7 years. Like, that's one term. So, like,
can they run only once, though?
No, you can run at least twice, because he won in 2011 and won again in 2018.
I mean, this guy, he was there when Joe Huebner was playing quarterback.
We could ask him about Joe Huebner at quarterback. And their 2025 election takes place November 11th.
Oh, okay. All right, good. We won't be over there for the political discourse. Daniel Thomas is 269 against North Texas, is third all-time in a game at K-State. Want to guess who has the top two spots?
Alex Barnes, I think, has one of them against Baylor.
He is fifth at 250.
Oh, can I get a time frame?
2003 and 2004.
Oh, Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
One of the teams, I think, might have been a Big 12 game, maybe Missouri.
Yep. 03 against Missouri, 273, and then 292 against Louisiana in 2004.
That's absurd.
Yeah. It's a large, large number. Entering last year, let's see here. We're on the career rushing charts, because we know we talked about Daniel Thomas. Daniel Thomas was fourth in just two seasons all time at K-State in rushing. So the only players that were ahead of him were John Hubert, Deuce Vaughn, and Darren Sproles.
Yeah, I believe he has been passed now, though.
Yes, I think you're right. I think DJ Giddens claimed that spot. Let me go and see. Just before we got out of here, John Kurtz responded, what about him?
What about him?
What were your thoughts on him at the time? I'm ashamed that he didn't just go ahead and actually have immediate thoughts ready for me on that. I would have thought he would have waxed poetic about that, but yeah. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for today. Keep in mind, we won't have anything for you until Monday, at least over here, but we're going to have continuous content pumping out over the weekend on KSO. So go to On3, get signed up if you're not. Also, sign yourself up to go to Ireland. I want to see a lot of cats over there. So cats2ireland.com. Those are all the things that you can do and click on. Make us happy here at KSO. You can click on the subscribe thing. I'm not going to beg you to do it. It does bother me when people beg for subscriptions on YouTube. So I'd appreciate if you did it. It's cool to see that number go up. It also makes sure that you see these videos a lot quicker in your feed. I'm not begging for it, though. So don't do it if you feel like I'm just begging. Do it because you want to. Do it because you like the KSO show and you want to be able to know the instant that things drop next week with the next quarterback list and all the other content we'll talk about. So we'll get out of here. For Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching and listening to the KSO show. Enjoy your weekend thinking about these five great quarterbacks.